once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Good evening, and it is Insight without Jack Sogler tonight. So tonight we are welcoming folks from the Fort Recovery Community Foundation. I'll let you guys introduce yourself, starting with the young lady here.
Hi, I'm Kathy Kesters.
And I'm Jerry Kaup.
I knew that, but other people can't see you. So we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff with the foundation. Let's just go this way. How long have each of you been on the board?
Well, a board member can serve a 6-year term, mm-hmm. two consecutives, and then he has to be off for a period of time.
Oh.
And then he can return back on the board.
Oh, okay.
So I've been involved with the Bicentennial or with the foundation since 1991.
Off and on, off here and there. On. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I've slept since I started, so I have no idea.
But you've been on a while.
Been on a long time.
Yes. So two of the people that really know the ins and outs and kind of the history.
You can be a non-voting trustee. So you can go to the meetings and you can listen. Mm-hmm. You can outvote. You can have opinions and suggestions. But that's what I did. I was on at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then I was off for a number of years, and now I'm back on.
Good. Good, good, good. So I guess let's just say, when and how did the foundation start?
Well, back in the 1980s, Eli Lilly had 5 of the top 10 drugs in the country. Mm-hmm. And they were blockbusters. They made a ton of money. And one of their charter directions, so to speak, is after there's so much money in their foundation, they must distribute it to an Indiana foundation. And in the early 1980s, Jay County Foundation received a very sizable chunk from the Eli Lilly Corporation. And I was really impressed by that and really thought, now that is awesome. But see, you have to have that vehicle. You have to have the foundation in place because it can take up to a year before you're granted the tax-free 501c3. So I always thought that was really interesting. And then in 1991, we had the Bicentennial here. And it was very successful. Nancy Knapke was involved with it. You know, Jenny Forkamp was on, and I shouldn't start naming names.
But, yeah, a list of all stars.
But they were heavily involved. It was very successful. I happened to be the treasurer, and when all the expenses were paid, we had about $100,000 left, and I had 39 projects to pay for, which I had been given as. Requests from community members and things like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I couldn't pay for 39, and we had to try to decide what we were going to do and not do. And I talked to a gentleman, and he said, Jerry, put the money in the bank and leave it there for a year. Don't do anything with it. So I did that. We couldn't decide what projects should be used, should be not. So we went for about a year. And then we put together a survey. Lori and I put together a survey. And we asked people what they really thought would improve the town or what the town needed and things. So those 39 projects all of a sudden fell into where 3 were really important. And everything else was way down on the list. And the 3 that were important was someone to take care of our parks. The sorority and different organizations were building new ball diamonds, but nobody was taking care of them. So taking care of the parks was number one. Number two was paying off the swimming pool. And number three was people were complaining about our school gymnasium being dark and not very inviting when we had games. So I got the okay from some of the members from the 1991 Bicentennial, because now we're in 1992, and we paid off the swimming pool park, and we worked with the school and Patney Camp to get the gymnasium painted, and it was nice and bright, new lights, and we still had about $50,000 left. And I asked some of the other board members if we could start this foundation, because what I wanted to do was get a new lawnmower for Norm Metzger so he could remow the softball field that I was playing on.
Yep.
And they said, okay, you can do that. Mr. Hine, John Hine, was very instrumental as our attorney to get us so that we could apply for this foundation. He helped me a great deal. He's still on the board, running as secretary. And by 1993, we were able to get started, and that's when we started.
Awesome.
That's how it started. So it was, yep. It was started because I wanted to have that vehicle in place, and I thought that we could do something really, really good for the town, and I really was admiring the way the Jay County Foundation was running itself.
Yep. And if I remember hearing correctly fairly recently, that was one of... I don't believe it was the very first, but it was one of the first 2, 3, 4, 5 foundations in the state of Indiana.
I think Indianapolis, the city of Indianapolis was the first, and I think Jay County was the second. And I think Mr. Barnbringing was important mm-hmm. on some of those things. And yep. I have to mention, Rich Meiring helped me a ton when he was in town here to help me set up with the foundation and with the Portland Foundation and help me with the investments and things like that. So Doc Meiring is really important in helping me a great deal.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get into some of the meat and bones of the organization and some more things and kind of whatever you guys want to talk about. And we'll be back in just a minute or two, and we'll continue our conversation.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery Community Club's 17th annual Fish Fry is coming up on Saturday, January 20th from 4 to 7 p.m. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road for their famous fish with all the fixins, French fries, coleslaw, baked beans, and more. It's only $12 for all you care to eat, and carryouts will be available, and it's just $7 for kids 8 and under. It's an annual wintertime treat that everybody looks forward to. The Community Club's annual all-you-can-eat fish fry at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on Saturday, January 20th from 4 to 7 p.m.
Sorry, I was thinking there was one more thing we were going to have. So we are back with Kathy Kesters and Jerry Kalp from the Fort Recovery Community Foundation. and we got a little bit of the history. And so how many people are on the board? Who's on the board? And what do you do?
Well, currently we have 14 board members, and I'm just going to list them off here so that people know if they have questions about the foundation, who to contact. Jason Andrews, Joanne Glenser is one of our treasurers, Scott Greasup. Don't know why he ever got on. I don't understand that. But at
any rate, just name recognition.
Good night. John Hine has been our secretary, and happy belated birthday to John. I'm going to get this little dig in, because every year at our first board meeting, he reminds me that he's just like a few days younger than I am.
Ah.
You know, but I remind him that I was pushing him around in a baby stroller, you know, because I have picture proof of that, you know, that I was pushing him when we were toddlers. So, and then of course, Jerry Cowpier is our president, myself, Greg Glefever, Carl Link, Nancy Reinhard, Ted Romer's our vice president, David Schmidt, Steve Schmitz, Amanda Segrist, Kevin Werkamp. Beth O'Connor isn't one of our board members, but she does some of our secretarial work and I think some accounting work for us. Mm-hmm. And then Janice Feely is no longer a board member, but she... how do I describe Janice? Goodness, she was kind of like our salvation for years and years, because she kept things rolling. She understood accounting, and anytime that we had a question about, you know, the financial part of it, or how much to distribute, all the monetary questions we ever had, Janice always had the correct answer for it.
Yes,
she was conservative. And really helped us to get, didn't charge a dime for the hours and hours and hours of work that she put in.
There might not be any money left in the fund if you actually paid her for what she was worth.
Yeah, she is. We couldn't afford her. There's no way.
Yeah, I've had several dealings with her, and she's beyond unbelievable.
Yes, absolutely.
She just really is.
Yeah. She's terrific. Thank you, Janice, if you're listening.
Yes. And then another person I'd like to recognize also is Carol Kanapke. Carol was a board president. She was a trustee for years, and then she became board president for a number of years, and she worked tirelessly also to get us where we're at today. So I appreciate the contributions that Carol made for us.
She did a lot of promoting, and like Janice and Carol are the ones that really stand out to me, because they just knew what was going on. And wouldn't let anything kind of be done halfway or put off for another day or anything like that. Let's get it done. We can do it. Let's go do it.
Those two ladies were the face of the foundation for years, and gave kind of put us on the map, I feel.
Yep, and probably the brains.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but there's a lot of brains there. But you know, they really they this probably doesn't sound right, but they controlled everything. But they didn't, like, they weren't trying to say, hey, I'm in charge. They just were in charge, and everybody knew that they knew what they were doing, and things were going the right way. That's my perception of how that went.
And, I think you've got it right.
Yeah. So that's the board, 14 of them. We kind of touched it on in the history, but what do you do?
Oh, as a trustee?
Or as the whole board? Or as a trustee specifically?
Most of us are trustees. I think we don't have any just people that come, or that are just, what do we call those extra people?
Spectators.
Yeah. Some of our former trustees still will come, but they don't have voting privileges.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we have anybody that's attending right now that is a former trustee on our list. I think everybody has voting privileges, don't they?
Yep.
I don't know if Ted does yet. He might.
I think he is.
He is now.
I think he does again. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
John Hine will know the answer, and he will...
He keeps us out of jail.
Yes. I don't think jail is the right thing, but maybe out of trouble with the authorities.
Well, you know, it's always been our mission to do everything... correctly and try to make sure that we're doing everything right by whoever donates to us. So that's very important to us when we say, we can kind of joke around, you know, that we want to stay out of jail. But basically, there are legal aspects to running a foundation. And we want to make sure that when someone gives us their money, you know, for right. safekeeping and or for their benevolent purposes, that we're doing right by that donor. That's very important to us. And the other thing that we take very, very seriously is the confidentiality. To me, it's extremely important that we're tight-lipped about donations. And as a board member and a trustee, I've been on the board for many years. I don't know who donates to some of these funds. And some of the funds are listed in an anonymous fashion. For instance, let me see if I can find a name of some that don't have an actual name. There's like a grateful fund. Mm-hmm. I have no idea who owns that fund or who started that fund. Mm-hmm. And because the person that did it wanted to remain anonymous. So the board members sitting in the board do not know. Mm-hmm. We don't know. So the person that knows is the treasurer. And that was, you know, and now we still have treasurers who honor that. Janice was great at it.
Yeah.
At being able to keep things under wraps. I say we're as good as a priest in a confessional about our confidentiality.
Yeah.
Trying to make sure that, you know, that we don't spread anything or that, you know, that the people donating the money understand that we're going to do right by them.
Yeah.
And we have, there are a couple of different types of funds that we have. One is the endowed fund. And an endowed fund would be one where the money would be donated and then it is going to remain in the foundation for...
In perpetuity.
In yeah. perpetuity, yes.
Yep.
And so we just direct it according to what we're ordered to direct it by how the fund is set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the spend-down funds where there's an organization or a group maybe that has a large project and they will be putting money into the foundation and then they will be spending it all the way down to zero when they complete their project. Your radio station, the Christmas Gala, I think uses a foundation.
Yes.
And then they distribute the money throughout the year.
Yeah, and that was a godsend. You know, that first year we just kind of said, let's see if we can raise some money, thinking we're going to get $1,000 and ended up with $17,000. And we didn't really want to have anybody thinking that we had that money sitting somewhere and we were spending it for parties or whatever it was. It just needed to go into the foundation in an entity that is, in our opinion, and should be everybody's opinion, is beyond any suspicion of doing things wrong. And so it went in there, and it's distributed through there. And one guy can't say, hey, I'm going to write a check to me. Two people have to sign it, and I believe even maybe the treasurers. I don't know exactly how it goes because I don't get involved in that part. But so Jack or Bill or Randy or Harold or Bob can't decide, well, I could sure use something to help me out with my gas bill this winter. You can't do that.
No.
Now, we could help somebody else, but that isn't our money. And we've never thought of it that way, and we want to make sure there's an entity like the foundation that's involved. And I'm sure that's why most of these other people are doing that too. Plus, it is people can make a donation to it, and it is, for most people, a tax-deductible donation.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and anyone that gives more than $250 should get a letter back from us for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be able to get that back to them.
Yep.
And there's some of the numbers that are down here. It says that in grants and scholarships so far, the foundation has given out $1.3 million. And totally, it says that the foundation has distributed over $5.5 million when you include the spend down funds and the hybrid funds and the other funds.
Mm-hmm.
That we've been able to spend in our community here. In 2023, It says the total awarded was $166,990. $106, $240,000 was awarded for scholarships, and $60,750 for community grants. So, Kathy, do you want to say how we come arrive at the who gets what?
Oh, the community grants. Well, the scholarships are in part whoever donates toward the scholarship. If you have a scholarship fund, maybe it has to go to somebody in nursing or goes to somebody who's mm-hmm. studying agriculture, those kinds of things. We honor those. But the foundation board doesn't pick or choose who gets a scholarship. We work with the school closely for that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as community grants are concerned, we have a process where I send letters to organizations in our community that have obvious projects going on. For instance, the Morovilius House and the library has projects. Those kinds of entities.
Yeah.
The project recovery, you know, with the reworking of the visitor center.
Right.
We send letters to those folks and ask them what they're interested, you know, in having us help them with, and they submit a request to us, and then we go through and we decide based on what their need is and how much money we have, because every year our distribution amount changes because it depends upon our stock investments, you mm-hmm. know, whether or not how much we have to give out. So those are the types of things that we try to take care of.
So this money comes, where does the grant, for instance, the grant money come from? How does that
We have several funds in the foundation that are considered the endowed funds, and some of those are specific to say that we want that money to stay here in Fort Recovery, and then everything that's invested in the foundation,
mm-hmm.
A certain percentage of that goes toward our distribution also.
Okay, and so the money that's there, you're basically, for simplicity purposes, you're spending the interest.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So the money, the principal in there kind of stays the same, except it really doesn't because people put money in, take it out. But you're spending the interest that's been earned that year on the grants. And I'm going to guess some on the scholarships, but a lot of it is from people that have made a donation that said we want it to be here. I believe there's maybe a John Cheeseman and a Jill Cheeseman and a Doris Cheeseman and a whole bunch of other names. Those just happen to be ones I think of and I think I know about. That, but there's probably a whole bunch of those that are specifically for a certain area or just mm-hmm. whoever you decide to do it. But so is that kind of right? The scholarships are kind of endowed and you're and they go specifically to somebody or a type of person, and the grants are interest. Is that too broad a generalization?
Well, some of the scholarships funds mm-hmm. are endowed.
Yeah.
So for instance, the Ron Shoemaker Scholarship Fund is quite large.
Yeah.
And so we are going to siphon off a certain amount of money. We have a pretty good idea. On bad years, it will be at least this much. On mm-hmm. good years, it will be a little higher. So then we will decide how many scholarships and at how much we have to distribute. And then we'll let the guidance counselor at the school know how many scholarships mm-hmm. are available. And then as a student, you will have to apply and maybe write why you think you deserve that
mm-hmm.
scholarship. And do you actually, you know, some of the scholarships then may be given out by a particular family for someone who is going to go into agriculture, somebody who's going to go into welding, somebody wants to go into electrical work.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be able to
meet
that criteria to get that scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some that are coming out of the endowed, and those are becoming from the interest, but then we have some scholarships where if you mentioned, say, the Cheesemans would give so many thousands of dollars or something, and they would want that distributed for a scholarship, then that would go out right away, you know, and mm-hmm. the student would have to meet that criteria. So the foundation's involved with deciding how many and how much we have for scholarships, but then the schools and the guidance counselors, they're kind of in charge of deciding who's going to receive those.
Yep, yep. That's a real good way to do it. So another question I had is, you know, you do send out the letters to various local groups for them to apply for grants. If there's a group that doesn't get these letters, are they allowed to kind of say, we have this project, or say maybe a new group of somebody that decides they want to take care of the flowers downtown or whatever, something that doesn't exist, how would they go about doing that, or are they allowed to do that?
They can. If they want to contact me, mm-hmm. they're certainly welcome to, and I'd be happy to send them a letter. We'll be sending them out mm-hmm. soon.
Do you guys have a Facebook page where they could message somebody through that, or what's their best way of contacting somebody?
Yeah, they do, and then, of course, they can call me personally if they want to, and I have my phone number is in the church book, mm-hmm. And or I'd be happy to give it to people online now. I really don't care.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can probably find it online anywhere you want to anyway, so it's not a big deal to me if I give my number out. So, and I'd be happy to make sure that they get the information. There's a small application that they mm-hmm. have to fill out, and it basically gives me their contact information and what their project is. They have to write what their project is and how much money that they're looking to procure for the project. And I need to say that I don't think there are very many projects that we've ever been able to fund fully.
Correct.
Unless it's a very small thing, mm-hmm. because we try to honor and try to give something to most people that, as long as they meet the foundation's criteria, because we have, our distribution has to go for the betterment of our local community, and through arts and through the parks. And I think that's kind of a generalization of our focus. So mm-hmm. You just can't say, I want a pizza party for, the high school seniors this year. So I'm applying for a grant and expect to get that, because it's not going to happen.
You might buy them one pizza.
Right? No, we won't. Because it doesn't meet the foundation's criteria.
Well, never mind then.
Yeah, we have to. I might do that personally, but not through the foundation, not with the foundation's money.
You can always start. You could always start your own fund, Neil, and just put it on there for pizzas if you like. Yeah. We'd be happy. Once you give us the money and you say how you want it to spend it, we'll spend it the way you want.
That's right. That's right. So that's it. It has to meet the criteria for the foundation for mm-hmm. our general distributions.
Yep.
So as long as it meets something that in that direction, we're happy to look at your request and see what we can do for you.
All right. Let's take another break here. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about some more Fort Recovery Community Foundation stuff. Be back in just a minute or two.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The annual open house at Hall Brothers is set for Wednesday through Saturday, January 24th through the 27th. Stock up now on oils, filters, sweeps, belts, and points. Everything you know you're going to need this year. All parts are discounted during the week. It's our busiest week of the year, so feel free to pre-order and avoid the lines. Open house is coming up January 24th through the 27th at Hall Brothers, your local Case IH and Kubota dealer in Fort Recovery.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. Here are the basketball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, Our Lady Indians will host Delphus St. John's and will simulcast WPGW's broadcast of the varsity game, and their audio can also be heard on the NFHS video. And the JV game will only be two quarters, so the varsity game will start earlier than usual. On Friday, the boys will travel to Delphus St. John's, and that'll be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast. The NFHS video will not be available for that game. Get out to as many games as you can to help cheer on our Indians teams this season. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. The Fort Recovery Knights of Columbus, Council 3324, are again sponsoring their annual free throw contest, and all boys and girls ages 9 to 14 are invited to compete. The event is free and will be held at the elementary middle school gym on Sunday evening, January 28th at 6:30, and the doors will open at 6 o'clock for practice. Our 9, 10, and 11-year-olds will shoot from 12 feet, and 12, 13, and 14-year-olds will shoot from the standard 15-foot foul line. Trophies will be awarded for all age groups for both boys and girls, and the winners in each category will advance to the district free throw contest in early February with a chance to move on to the regional, state, and national competitions. The sign-up forms are available at school and will also be available the evening of the competition. Feel free to contact Greg Lefevre if you have questions at 419-852-2654. Come and join the fun at the KFC's annual free throw contest held at the elementary middle school gym on Sunday evening, January 28th, with the contest starting at 6:30.
Welcome back to Insight, and we're talking with folks from the Fort Recovery Community Foundation, and we've been talking about the history of it and what they do. What else do we want to talk about? Throw out some good stuff about the foundation.
Well, we can talk about how much money is in there, maybe, and mm-hmm. There's around $8 million in there, $8.1 million in the foundation today. A big part of that is endowed, probably $5.5 million, getting closer to $6 million is endowed. So it's going to stay in the foundation all the time. Our investment philosophy, we have a gentleman who is investing mostly in index funds when we're in the stock market. Mm-hmm. We're about 65% stocks. 35% has to be in bonds. Anyone that puts the money in a spend down fund, we're guaranteeing that they will get that money back no matter what happens with the stock market. This year, toward the end here, of course, stock market has done better. So mm-hmm. our investments have done better. We are distributing as much as we can while growing the funds at the rate of inflation, because if you're giving out a scholarship at today's prices, we'd like in 50 years you'd be giving out a scholarship at those prices, whatever yeah. that is.
Yeah.
And so we will be meeting, we'll be distributing money about May, correct?
Yes.
And so we'll be meeting actually tomorrow, deciding about the amount of funds that will be given out this year. And some of that will be, of course, depending on what types of funds we have left in there, and then how much is endowed and how much is spend down. And then we'll have those numbers for you, hopefully, by the next meeting, Kathy. And then we are going to give that money out. That's what we like to do. That's what we want to do.
And that would be to the people who have requested.
Yes.
Grants.
Yes. Grant requests. Mm-hmm.
Grant requests. Grant requests. And then, like I say, some of them are going to be donor advised. So mm-hmm. we're going to take those funds. We're pretty much going to know how that's going to, I mean, they've given us real blueprints about how that money's going to get spent.
And they can decide it goes to the museum. They can decide it goes to flowers. They can decide yes. it goes to something, and you will, the committee will take care of making sure it goes to something in that category.
Right.
Well, there was a Gifts of Grain, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
Was a fund that was started, and it was intent was to help agriculture education in Fort Recovery.
Yeah.
So we talked to the ag teachers, Mr. Hawk and Mr. Gower, and they come up with a need, you know, like maybe a little piece of equipment or something like that that the foundation can purchase. And we purchased that through Gifts of Grain because the person that started the Gifts of Grain has a heart for agricultural education for our kids.
Yep.
So if you have a heart for something, you know, like maybe I'm just going to throw this one out here for like maybe the music program in our schools. And that would be something that we don't have a fund for currently. So, you know, every year the band and the choir, we don't honor like all teacher requests, but things that have booster organizations, we kind of look at those a little bit, you know, because it's a group of people asking, not just individual educators, because as much as we'd like to be able to fund teacher requests, we just aren't in a position that we can do that. So if you're interested, or if you have a heart for music, or if you have a heart for something, you know, you need to talk to us, and we can show you and get you lined up so that you can, you know, make your benevolent wishes come true so that we can help you.
Yeah. If somebody had to figure that out themselves, they'd probably give up. If they come to you with an idea, you have people that know how to do that, and it's not, they don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's already a template for
There's
for taking
a
care
really
of that.
Nice thing about doing things through the foundation. First of all, you get a tax deduction.
Yeah.
And then you can remain anonymous. And anonymity, how do I say that three times fast? You try it, Jared.
No. I'll
anonymity.
Yeah, that word right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to remain anonymous, we can help with that. You know, so the person that you're directing a gift to, maybe it's somebody in need, they don't need to know that it came from you. And then plus, the other part of remaining anonymous is that person, if you see them on the street or in the grocery store, they don't have to feel like they're beholden to you because you've given them money. So that being able to be anonymous works two ways, you know. So it's very nice that we can do that for people. One of the great funds that we have that we use a lot in the foundation is called the Hope Fund. And it's a public fund that anybody can contribute to. And with that, we have helped a number of people. We've done, like, you know, tire changes. We've paid heating bills. We've helped with school supplies. You know, the school's already approached us about families in need from time to time, you know, with coats or clothing and those kinds of things. And we can help with those, with that kind of stuff, smaller needs. And it's just been a really a big blessing for lots of people. And anybody can contribute to that fund if they should choose.
Well,
and
you said blessing to a lot of people. That includes the people that give.
Yes,
absolutely. That's a big blessing to the people that give.
Absolutely.
Not only the people that receive it, I think that a lot of people in our area understand that. A lot of the rest of the country hasn't figured that out. That it is at least as blessed to give as it is to receive. And sometime you might be one of those people that needs. You just don't know. It may or may not be money. Maybe it's something, advice or something that somebody can give you. But if you can. You know, you are probably going to be a receiver of something someday. And if you're paying it forward and it's there and you're the right kind of person, you're going to get whatever help you need.
Recently, the foundation did a mailing and everybody, a number of our alumni, Fort Recovery alumni, received it, as well as everybody who has a post office box or a rural route number in Fort Recovery, receive that. So it might be sitting on your table or, you know, on your desk, and you've kind of pushed it to the side. And a number of funds were listed in that thing. So, you know, pretty much all the churches in our community have a fund, and you're welcome to give, you know, fill it out and give to that, because all the churches usually have projects that are going on that help, and those funds help with that. And there were a number of other funds listed that aren't necessarily church related.
Oh, yep.
But community improvement. And I neglected to say earlier that we try to, when we do distribute the money with the grants, we try to make sure that our parks get the bulk of the money, because obviously the parks themselves can't make money.
Right.
They don't, they're not a money-raising entity.
Just think all the money they make at the concession stand selling selling water for $1.
Selling peanuts, No, so we try hard to put a lot of money into the park board's hands so that they can make improvements and or do upkeep for our parks.
Yeah, and, the Jubilee was responsible for funding a lot of the park. I mean, the village was... They get tax dollars, but they like to spend tax dollars on streets, not on on baseballs. So the Jubilee was funding most of those activities at our parks, which is great, except when it rains for 4 days. Jubilee, and if that money doesn't come in, it's very, very difficult.
Yep.
So a part of starting the foundation, and Mr. Metzger, Norm Metzger, was very much involved with me, and he was involved with the Jubilee, so he would take 10% of the proceeds from the Jubilee and take that and put that into that community park fund in the foundation to help us grow. And we did that for a number of years.
And as it got more, I think now it's 50% goes to the parks, I believe, of the Jubilee, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure.
It's a chunk. I know they do as much for the parks as they can.
Yeah.
There are some other things that they need to take care of, or help take care of, I should say. But their main focus is parks, and it's just, and it should be. Everybody benefits from the parks.
Yeah, the parks, our parks looks terrific.
Sawyer
Overman Park is going to be
that's
a great asset.
That's going to be something else, too.
That's going to really be... I can't wait for that.
So that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
you can donate just money. You can put money to any of the funds that we have, and you can also open up your own fund. And like I say, there are basically two types of funds we have. One is an endowed fund, where the principal of that money stays in the foundation, and we distribute the earnings from that amount of money. And the other one is a spend down fund, where you put the money in, you can put your name on it or call it whatever you'd like. And if you want to do it for scholarships or for some kind of community project, like the Opera House, Morvilli's Opera House, the Historical Society or whatever, you can put your name on it and spend it down. And we will do however you direct us to spend those funds.
Yeah, and through a licensed nonprofit. So that your original money is tax deductible.
Correct.
I don't know if it's always, but in almost every case, for sure, there may be some situations where, if you have a real crazy financial situation, it might not be, but for the general public, everything that you donate to a nonprofit organization is a legitimate licensed nonprofit organization is tax deductible.
Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be cash.
Right.
It can be land, it can be property. Then what if someone donates property and they get the write off for the value of that property? And it's up to the foundation to sell that property. Or it could be a retirement account, for instance, a 401k or an IRA. If you had $10,000 in an IRA and you donate it directly to the foundation gets the full $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
You have $10,000 in an IRA and you take it home first, you have to pay taxes, the income taxes and your payroll taxes on that, and then you'll end up with the $8,000 or $7,500 that you could give to the foundation. So if you were going to donate money to the foundation and you had a retirement account, you could actually donate a larger amount if it went directly.
And it doesn't have to be that whole 401k. If you've got $200,000 in there and you want to give $50,000, that comes directly to the to the foundation, and that is tax-free. The other you would pay tax on if you get possession of it.
Right, and we use Mohnke & Associates here to help us make sure that we do that all legally.
Yeah.
And it works out pretty well, really. Yep.
Well, let's take one more quick break, and we'll come back and kind of wrap stuff up and talk about anything else we need to talk about that we haven't talked about already. And then we'll take another break, and we'll talk to Rocker. He's got a new idea of stuff instead of just pop culture history. So we'll be back with more of the foundation information right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Have you checked out Wayne IGA's new meat bundles? They have order slips back at their meat counter. Their farm bundle has a nice assortment of their most popular beef, pork, and chicken cuts. Their pork bundle has bacon, Vulcan casing sausage, and bone-in and boneless pork chops. And their steak bundle has cube steaks, plus ribeyes, New York strips, and T-bones. Stop back at their meat counter for more details. Freezer wrapping is available for a small extra charge. Get stocked up for winter and have some left over for spring. Head up to Wayne IGA now and get your meat bundles ordered. Wayne IGA, the best meat market around. The Fort Recovery Education Association is sponsoring an all-you-can-eat chili supper on Friday night, January 19th. Serving will be in the high school commons from 4:30 to 6:30 before the boys' basketball game with Coldwater. Tickets will be available at the door for only $6, and kids 5 and under are free. All proceeds benefit the Fort Recovery Education Association Scholarship Fund. Get to the Coldwater Boys basketball game early on January 19th and enjoy the Fort Recovery Education Association Chili Supper with all the fixings. Serving will be from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Commons. And be sure to grab some of the Cy Iota's Eyes Krispy Kreme donuts after the game. The Fort Recovery Sons of the American Legion will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, February 11th. You can get your tickets from any Sons member, and they're only $10 each. Serving will be from 4 to 6 p.m., and you can eat your dinners at the Legion or take them home. For tickets, you can call 419-852-6916 or 419-852-0316 or look up one of the Sons of the Legion members and get your tickets now for their annual barbecue chicken dinner coming up on Sunday, February 11th at the Legion with serving from 4 to 6 p.m.
Sorry, we've been chit-chatting and forgot that we were just about to come on the air. So we were talking to Kathy Kesters and Jerry Kalp from the Fort Recovery Community Foundation, and they've given us a pretty good oversight of what the Community Foundation does, why it's here, when it started, and all that. I think off the air we were talking about a couple more things we wanted to at least mention and kind of give it a brief wrap up also, and we'll let you guys get on your way.
If anyone's interested in being on the board, you certainly are welcome to come to our meetings. You can contact me if you'd like to put your name in on the ballot. We have 6-year terms, so we're electing like 2 every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the ballot. We'll have a meeting. We have 3 meetings a year. We have a meeting in January, and we'll elect board members. We'll have a meeting in May, where we'll talk about the distribution. And our fiscal year ends June 30th, so we use our May meeting to clear up the rest of the end of our year in books. And then we'll have a meeting in September, to talk, just kind of make some further ahead plans, some plans down the road.
And then the committees on the board have individual meetings aside from just the three board meetings. Right. So like the distribution committee meets twice besides that so that we can decide where the distributions should go to, who gets the grant money. And then like the investment committee meets to make sure that the investments are taken care of. And our growth committee meets. They were the people that put together the brochure. So they meet and they talk about those kinds of things. So you do have a few other little responsibilities, but it's not overly taxing. And
Yeah, the investment committee will meet once every quarter to review investments and talk about changing funds if we want to, or how we're performing and things like that, if we're hitting our targets, things like that. So, yeah. What else, Kathy? Anything?
Well, let's kind of go over things again. You guys handle, depending on the spend down funds and that type of thing, $7-8 million, and you give away the interest of everything. And you know, one of the reasons they want to have more money in the foundation is the more money they have, the more leverage they have with interest rates. So if they can get let's say 0.1 or 0.2 more points of interest, that might not be so much on $1,000, but that's a lot on $8 million.
Well, and the other thing you do is you, the larger your fund grows, the less your expenses become. So we can move in and out of the stock market easier for buying the different shares, things like that. So that makes a difference too.
Right. Yeah. So if you have anything like that you, and you're wondering what you might want to do with it, or you hadn't really thought of it, and just talking about it kind of gives you an idea of, you know, we ought to do something like that. But we don't have any idea how to do it. Well, the people are there to absolutely, that can help you. Experts, been at it for 25 years. How many?
It was 93.
So it's 30 years.
30 years.
So been at it a while. So they know what they're doing, and they do have, you know, very good professional investment.
We take our fiduciary responsibility very seriously.
Yes.
We take that very seriously. And
Very few people on there that say, let's just take it to Vegas and put it on a roll of dice.
Not too often. No, that's a good idea. Well, never mind.
Only if you know you're going to win.
Only if you know you're going to win. No, the truth is I heard a wise old saying, it was real recently, and I thought I would pass it on. And it's true about the work that we feel like we're doing with the foundation here. You always hear about how it's greener, the grass is greener somewhere else. It's greener on the other side of the fence. It's greener here. It's greener there. And this little proverb says, actually, grass is greener where you water it.
Yep.
And so if you want to make your community great, you got to give. You have to give. And I've always thought that was important. I thought it was true. And we're hoping that this foundation is just something that can...
And this is one way to give money. There's a million other ways to give. But if you have... A lot of people have time but not much money. Other people have both. Some people have money but not time. Time, not money. And all of that's important. If you have some money or a bunch of money and want to help people or a specific thing, because like with the funds, you can say it goes to people with the last name that begins with T.
And
if you decide that's what you want to do,
And one other thing, so the foundation is, to me, I always call it a vehicle. It's in place to handle what you want to do in the future.
Yep.
And so you can also fund with life insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can have a life insurance policy, and so you're not gonna have your fund maybe until you pass away, but you can really do some wonderful things.
Yeah.
After you're gone, or what's that word, Kathy? What's that word you want to say?
Anonymity. Yep, that one right there.
Anonymity.
So, That's just another. It's just another.
Yeah.
Thing.
So, you could start right now and say, I'm going to give $10,000 and put it in a life insurance policy and pay $50 or whatever it is a month, or $1 million, or $250,000, or $5,000, whatever it might be. You can do that. And also, I believe there are, and that may be the endowment funds I'm thinking of, but like something where you can, if you have a retirement fund, the 401ks, that type of thing, or something like that, there's a lot of things that you can have that money go to the foundation. Let's say you worked somewhere and had a pension. Let's say it's $200 or $300 a month, but you don't need that money. That can go directly to the foundation. You can put it in the general fund, start your own thing, and you don't have to pay taxes on that money now when you get it. So there's a million ways of doing it. And if you see that you have some money that you aren't, that you, your family aren't going to desperately need, you can help a lot of people do a lot of things with just, you know, if let's say you just give a couple more, couple of $100 a year. Well, if you do that for 10 years, that's $2,000, and you know, that's $400 or $500 scholarships. So.
I do want to say one more thing about the Hope Fund. If someone knows of somebody and who could use some a little bit of extra help,
yes,
you can always contact myself or Amanda Segris, Nancy Reinhardt, and Steve Schmitz.
Schmitz.
Yeah, Steve Schmitz. It left me. It was one of those moments, you know.
Just go out to the hardware store. Like, ask for Bubba.
Yeah, there you go. we're on the distribution committee. So mm-hmm. If you call it to our attention, we'd be happy to access the Hope Fund, mm-hmm. and we can maybe get that family or that person a little bit of help.
And that can be done at any time of
that
the year.
That can be done any time of year. That does not have to go through our grant requests.
Yep, yep. So anything else you want to talk about in wrapping up?
No, I just want to say thank you, Neil, for mm-hmm. inviting us in.
Oh, absolutely.
I appreciate it.
All the things that we try to promote, all the good stuff going on in Fort Recovery, and the foundation is absolutely one of those things. You know, there's so much good that comes out of that.
It's been a blessing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, Kathy, we appreciate you coming. Jerry?
Thanks, Neil.
Appreciate it a lot.
Thanks, Neil. Thank you very much.
We'll be back in just a minute or two with Randy Bonvillain. Back in just a minute.
Fors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Stroll Appliance and Electronics has GE appliances in stock and ready for your home. Strolls has GE washers and dryers, dishwashers, refrigerators, ranges, freezers, and microwaves. For instance, get a GE 14 cubic foot frost-free upright freezer for $699, save $150. And Strolls now carries the all-new GE Nugget ice makers, so you'll never be short on ice. That's Stroll Appliance and Electronics, 1513 North Meridian Street in Portland, serving the Jay and Mercer areas for 84 years.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Our local Sty Iota Zi chapter will be holding their Krispy Kreme fundraiser on Friday, January 19th, after the boys' basketball game with Coldwater. They're only $12 a dozen, and you'll be the hero at breakfast on Saturday morning. Just remember to grab a dozen or two of these delicious Krispy Kreme donuts on your way home. Sty Iota Zi's Krispy Kreme donut sale, Friday, January 19th, after the boys' basketball game with Coldwater. And don't forget to get to the game early that night for the Fort Recovery Education Association's Chili Supper from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Commons.
Welcome back to Insight, and we are now going to be going to Randy Bonvillain with his Not This Day in Pop Culture History. So what are you calling this?
This is the Rocker Report.
The Rocker Report. So it's kind of like Randy Pudman Miller with the Rocket Report, but take me out to the ball game, but it's the Rocker Report.
Yes. Okay.
So tell us about what this is.
My first order, well, it's some of it's a little bit of hodgepodge of everything.
Okay.
Some of it's special interest, some of it's entertainment, we hope.
Oh, we don't want any entertainment. We don't like entertainment. I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't
Since Harold's here, we can...
Entertain.
Okay, Crocs on guys. Is that a good or bad fashion?
Crocs? I love them.
Love them.
But mine are a little different looking, but I bought some for my nephew, Ian. He loves them. He loves the plasticky things or whatever.
Yep.
So we're down in Tennessee, and we find him some. Well, they just happen to have, you buy one, the other one's like $5 or something. And I kind of seen a pair. I said, I kind of like them. They look good. And I've been wearing them wide open ever since.
So do you wear them like kind of places or just around the pool?
Everywhere. I love them. They're unbelievable. They're about wore out, though. I'm about to break down and buy another pair.
Well, buy another pair for Ian, and you can get another pair
there
for $5.
Get another pair for $5.
Might have to go to Tennessee for that. But
What else you got?
So what's your thought on it, Rocker?
What do you think, Rock?
I'm not a fan of
them.
Not a fan.
Certain ones I don't like, but the ones I bought, I liked.
I think, now, Should you wear socks with them or no socks?
I go both ways. Never know.
I've heard that about you.
Okay. We flash back. This next one, we flash back to 1988.
88?
Steve Guttenberg.
Stevie.
Tom Selleck.
Mm-hmm.
And, trying to think with...
Fred Flintstone?
No, the 3 Men and a Baby. Guttenberg.
Ted Danson,
right? Danson, yes.
Yep. I didn't watch the movie, but I knew who it was.
Yep.
20-some years later or more, we get three grandpas and a baby.
Three grandpas?
Coming out June 2024.
Right,
same three guys?
Yes.
Cool.
So that should be interesting.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
How they handle that.
Why wouldn't they do that?
That's
usually they're dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not that long.
So license
27 years, yeah.
License to print money is what they say.
Yes, sir.
And this next one is kind of a sad one for all three of us. We kind of grew up in this guy's generation. We lost David Soul last week.
Hutch. Don't give up on us, baby.
Yes.
David Soul. That's a blast from the past.
Another one down.
Never watched that show.
Starsky and Hutch?
Nope.
Great show.
Good old Huggy Bear.
It was on a Friday or Saturday night.
Huggy Bear.
Was not going to be sitting at home.
And, of course, I think if you watch the TV, especially Fox News, in the last few days, you've probably seen this, heard this story. The Bass Pro Shop Skinny Dipper.
Woo.
He just got drunk, I guess, and jumped right in the old belly flop into the aquarium.
It didn't work out too good for him, I'm sure.
Well, they hold him off literally by his arm.
Oops.
So
I thought you were going to say something else.
By his leg.
So I'm not sure. Would that be good or bad publicity for Bass Pro Shops?
Ooh, I don't know.
Got their name mentioned. They didn't do anything wrong.
But is that something you want to be affiliated with?
No, I'd say not.
We got some area birthdays. Not very many.
Not very many?
Hope one of them is mine. I'm due for a birthday this year.
You are due.
Yep.
If you had as many birthdays as people claim you do, you'd be like Yoda.
Yeah. I'd be old if If every time somebody thought I had a birthday, I had a birthday.
Tag one on.
Yep. I'll be 300 years old.
On Tuesday, we have Sierra Guerra, which is Pitana Beto's daughter.
Oh, yep.
Gotcha.
And one of Neil's favorite people, Brenda Funk.
Yes, okay. Yep, she was rude to me a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Then on Friday, we had Beth Rammel.
Bethy?
Oh, Beth Rammel. Oh, okay, yeah.
Bobby's
wife?
Yep.
Our citizen of the day.
Who's the citizen
of
the day?
Is it me again?
Not quite.
Yeah. Oh.
Is it Fee?
Can you go back to back?
Is it Bubby?
We got Bubba? Jackie Holman.
Jackie Holman.
That sounds familiar. Do I know her?
She's the bartender.
The bartender?
At Brick Street.
Brick Street?
Oh, okay. Right. I probably didn't know last names.
You're trying to get a free drink out of her.
Kind of. Yeah. She's not even listening, so I'm guessing not.
Well, but maybe she'll get a report.
She might have got a report.
And the Fort Covey Chamber of Commerce would probably like me to send out this PSA.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for the Hall of Fame Citizen of the Year and Business of the Year candidates.
Yeah. Yep.
So I figured get that all in.
I'm nominating Rob Weaver.
Rob Weaver.
He's not even Fort Recovery resident, but
Diane McClung wasn't either.
Yep.
She won.
He's done a lot for our town.
I'm nominating Mary Evers as Hall of Fame.
Mary is a chicken. Yep. She's fed us all chicken.
Yep.
Yeah. What would Fort Curry or Mercer County weddings be without that woman?
Mm.
They'd be $15 a plate.
A little more expensive.
With half the food. But it'd be real pretty.
Yeah.
It'd be real pretty food.
So who we got on Sports Talk tonight, boys?
I'm going to talk to the commission.
The soon-to-be former commissioner?
Soon-to-be former commissioner.
I don't like it.
We ain't liking it. We ain't liking it at all. And also, we got Mindy Bupp coming in.
Oh.
The Bupster.
I definitely like that.
We like that?
Yep.
I told Bill on Facebook, I said, you're next. You're the new commissioner.
New commish. Bill Stogler.
What's the worst that could happen?
Everything. that could be let's call it not good.
Mm. Well, I'm out of here. Happen.
Rock's gone.
You guys take over.
Perfect.
All righty. Well, is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Done.
We didn't get a chance to harass you or anything. I don't like this.
No.
We gotta go back.
Fast.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back with Sports Talk. Smooth. Just a little bit.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community